Hey yo, we about to tear it up.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you are listening to the Breaking Atoms podcast. My name is Chris Mitchell, aka The Actual Factual. And before we start, I must send apologies on behalf of Sumit, aka the potty mouth of the South. He cannot be here today, but he is here in spirit and he wanted to say what's up. He wants to say sorry. And you guys can insult him by sending him abusive messages via at Hip Hop Chronicle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Today's guest is an artist from the US, someone who I've been listening to, I would say, for the last 4 years or so. One day I was at home just looking for music, as I do, and I was just looking for Static Selekt to produce songs. I was making a playlist, and I just wanted Static Selekt to produce songs. And I typed in Static Selekt into the ever-trusty Bandcamp search bar, and this gentleman came up. I listened to a song called Exhausted, and I was like, okay, I don't know this person, but Static works with him, and he raps well, so I'm going to tap in as well. And I've been tapped in ever since, and he's recently signed to Mellow Music Group. He's all the way from Oklahoma. He is an artist. He's an activist. He's a man of the people. I've just found out that he is also a restaurant owner. Entrepreneur settings have been activated. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here with JB representing Oklahoma. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, brother. How are you? That's a really dope intro. Thank you.
No, listen, man. I told you I discovered you in a very kind of unorthodox way. Like no one, it wasn't that anyone sent me music. I'm a proactive music guy. So I look for stuff to listen to. And I just came across you because you did the song with Static Selekt. And, there's certain producers, if they produce for people, I will listen to them just off the strength. And that's how I discovered you, man. And I really appreciate your skill level. I appreciate your heart. And when you look at people like, Muhammad Ali, much of their retrospective adoration comes from what they did outside of, the ring or on the track. And what I love about you is that you are a man of the people and there's a lot to you. You stand with the people, you walk with the people, and I respect that.
I appreciate that, brother. Yeah, no doubt. That's important too, so.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. So tell me, first of all, no. Tell me. Congratulations, newly minted Mellow Music Group contract. Tell me how that came about.
We kind of started talking back in like 2013. I was working with Merce and, Merce was taking me on tour and helping me with my music. And so that's kind of where they first saw me was back then, and just was watching me, from then is what they said. And so, I put out this last project. Well, I put out Black Future in 2016, and Mike from Mello really liked that, and I put out another album in 2020, This World So Fragile and Cruel. He liked that, but then I just dropped a 4-part EP series called Am I Good Enough? And so, he just really liked the way I did it, with the producers and just the rollout and the vinyl. It was almost just like I was already, Like, and so he was like, to do all that on your own, he really thought was dope. And so he was like, we gotta, do something together. And so we kind of started talking and, talked about, what it would look like and, what my plans were for the future, music wise and, and then just the line, man. And it's been good ever since. And so now I'm trying to finish up this EP for Mello and then work on the album.
Dope. Yeah, so Mello Music Group is one of my, it's probably my favorite label. And yeah. I won't lie, when I saw the announcement that you had signed with them, I was shocked, but I wasn't surprised.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I had a feeling because, Michael, I don't know him, but I get the impression that he keeps his ear and eye open. And I was like, it's only a matter of time before, you head over there. The only thing I would ask you as a fan, please do something with Apollo Brown, even if it's one song, I beg.
It's already did that. That's already done, bro.
Come on.
We got a couple joints. Sorry.
Come on.
Yeah. that was number one on my list.
Oh, word?
Yeah, that was number one on my list was Apollo Brown. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Me and him share the same birthday, actually. Same year. It's crazy. My earliest memory of hearing about Oklahoma, I'm a wrestling guy. So Jim Ross, the wrestling commentator, he's from Oklahoma. So for people who don't know about Oklahoma, like you know, when people think hip hop, you know, the places that come to mind first for most people is New York, your LA, you know, Detroit and stuff. But describe Oklahoma for me. I've just landed in Oklahoma. Like, how would you describe it for me?
Yeah, so I'm in Oklahoma City. The one thing people always say when they come here, they're just surprised at how many black people there are. You know what I mean? But the, you know, we had, what's crazy is Oklahoma has a really rich black history. So Oklahoma has the most black towns out of all the states. We also were supposed to be an all black state. Initially we were going to be an all black state. That's why we have so many black towns. In Tulsa, you had Black Wall Street, the Tulsa Race Massacre, and you know that Greenwood and Tulsa was really like just like a prominent black community, you know, with a lot of resources and a lot of money. And then you also in Oklahoma City, you had Deep Deuce, which was really, really known for like theater and music and jazz and blues, and all the greats came through here, you know, back then. Ralph Ellison, who wrote Invisible Man, is from here, you know what I mean? And so black people are deep in Oklahoma, you know what I mean? Of course, we aren't the majority, but, you know, there's a really big, rich history. There's a lady named Miss Clara Looper. She led one of the first successful sit-ins in the country, you know, here in Oklahoma City. So, you know, we've been, you know, fortunate enough to have that type of history where we can, you know, you come to Oklahoma City, I could take you around and show you all these things, you know what I'm saying? And so you touch down, there's no, people always ask, are there teepees? No, there's the, I mean, I'm sure like, that's like the perception is like, we all live in teepees, but nah, we live in houses and, you know what I'm saying? We have, our city is really, you know, one of the largest city landmass wise in the country. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I want to say top 15, top 10, you know, because it's so spread out. You know what I mean? Oklahoma City is. But of course, we got the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, and they're number one seed in the playoffs. You know what I mean? We got a game tonight, matter of fact. But yeah, I mean, we got hoods like everybody else. We got gangs like everybody else, you know. You know, we got projects, all the same, you know, things that other major cities were dealing with, we dealt with as well. And people, the best way for me to describe it is it's unique. It's a unique city. You just got to come and check it out, bro. I can go on and on about Oklahoma City.
Man, you sold it to me. Like anywhere there's black people and, you know, black people in community and black people happy, I'm happy. So
yeah, no doubt.
I love it. You know, you've talked about the good side of Oklahoma, but you know, there's like with all communities, you have your challenges. And I was reading up about one particular situation, the story of Julius Jones, someone who you have advocated for, built a relationship for the benefit of our listeners here in the UK. Can you explain who Julius Jones is, the situation, and how you've been working with him?
Yeah, so 1999, there was a carjacking and there were two young black, there was carjacking in like a white suburb of Oklahoma City, and they arrested two black kids. And one of the black kids who actually got sentenced to death was Julius Jones. The accomplice didn't, which, you know, whenever they talk to the witnesses and the people that were there, the description that they gave matched the other guy, not Julius. They talked about how he had, you know, braids and long hair. Julius had a fade, you know what I'm saying? He also always said he was never there, you know what I mean? And there are several people who corroborate that story, you know, and say, you know, he was somewhere else and he just never really got a fair trial, you know what I'm saying? And he never really had a fair chance. They wanted to convict somebody because this prominent white dude got killed, you know? And so he was a 19-year-old kid and he got convicted and has maintained his innocence ever since. And so, and also the other guy who was the accomplice, he's already out. He got out a couple of years ago, but there's several affidavits that where, you know, he confessed that he did it and that Julius wasn't there. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I remember it happening. I'm a little bit younger than Julius, but his family and our family are friends. And so it was, I want to say 2018, 2019, Viola Davis made a documentary about the about Julius's story, and it was on TV. And so that kind of jump started the movement. And so for me, it was like, dang, you know people getting locked up and things happening, but you just like, oh, there goes somebody else getting locked up. And it wasn't until you see the story, like, dang, I had no idea all these other things transpired. Like, you know, the evidence was wrong. And, you know, they said this, and, you know, these different things happened at trial. His family didn't get to testify. People lied on him. You know, the jury was, you know, there was evidence that the jury was racist and were making racist remarks, you know, throughout the trial and things like that. We didn't know happened, you know. And so from there, we just jumped on it because, you know, they were trying to execute him. And so we spent, you know, I want to say close to, you know, almost 4 years really, you know, working towards, you know, his liberation and trying to save his life. And so, you know, we did a bunch of things. We camped out and slept in front of the governor's mansion. I walked 131 miles with four of the people to McAlester, Oklahoma, where the penitentiary is. We had several protests. We had so many things, you know what I'm saying? We did screenings of the movie. We just traveled around telling his story and trying to, advocate for his freedom, his liberation. And so when it came down to it, on the day of his scheduled execution, he was scheduled to be executed about 4 o'clock. And the day before, we really organized so many different, you know, efforts. We had high school students walking out of school. You know, we filled up the state capitol with people in protest every day. I want to say about on the day of his execution, it was about, I want to say 12 o'clock that the governor, you know, made the call and said that he would have stay of execution. And so they didn't kill him, but he put into writing that Julius could never apply for commutation again, and he had to spend the rest of his life in prison. So now we're on the other side of it, you know, trying to work, you know, the legal system to, you know, help him get that part fixed so that he has a chance to live. You know what I mean? Because, you know, he's been in prison for, you know, 20 plus years, and, you know, he spent his life in prison already. You know what I mean? He's in his mid-40s. He went to prison when he was 19. It's important that I talk about him and tell his story because, you know, a lot of people don't realize that the fight is still ongoing.
I want to get back to the music. I really love, you know, I know you mentioned before, you know, Am I Good Enough and the four parts. I thought the art direction was really unique. The colors, it really stood out. It jumped off the page. The four-part EP, and it wasn't until, you know, I got to like EP number 3 and I was like, oh, it's a title. Am I Good? And then you said Enough. I'm like, okay, makes sense. Talk about, you know, yeah, the inspiration behind the title. And, you know, some of the insecurities that we face as artists.
Yeah. So I had the idea for the concept of 4 EPs, 4 producers, and, you know, each cover of each one kind of being a different period in my life. So I had that idea, but I didn't know what the title was. I didn't have the four words yet. You know what I mean? And so I was just, you know, thinking. And one day I was watching a documentary on Whitney Houston. Kevin Costner was talking about Whitney Houston, and he talks about whenever she came in to audition for The Bodyguard, and how, you know, she was upset and he could tell she was nervous, and, you know, she had been crying, her makeup was messed up, and so he pulled it to the side. And he's like, you know, what's going on? You know what I mean? And this is Whitney Houston in her prime. You know what I mean? And she asked him, am I good enough? When I heard that, I was like, am I good? And I was like, that's it. And so really, it just put in perspective of how I was feeling. And it's like, dang, like, why not think of that? Because like, especially leading up to that project, I've always felt like, you know, am I good enough? You know, am I good enough to be in the same room at the same table with some of these people? You know what I'm saying? Am I good enough to be on a track with Apollo Brown? You know what I mean? You know, I'm me, who's nobody, but you got somebody who had everything and was at the peak of her career and at the peak of her life, feeling like that. And it just let me know, like, that's an insecurity that we all have. That's those are feelings that we all have, and we can allow those feelings and those insecurities to be our downfall, or we can allow those insecurities to be something that we overcome, and it's our story, you know what I mean? And that was the whole vibe behind it, you know, was like, I just really wanted to create something that told that story about me. Because a lot of times whenever I'm writing raps or, you know, recording music or doing anything that has to do with music, I'm always in my head, like, you know, is this good enough? Is niggas gonna like this? Is, you know what I'm saying? Like, even when you do a song, like you do a joint with somebody like Static, and you're like, okay, he works with this person. He's, you know what I'm saying? He got songs with Nas. He got songs with Black Thought, like Action Bronson, Joey, like all these dope ass rappers. And it's like, okay. And you're doing your little song, and then you send it to him, just hoping that, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, it's good enough and on that level to where he fucks with it. You know what I'm saying? And so, but on this one, I just really wanted to not allow myself to get into that space to where I'm thinking so much about what people going like, you know what I'm saying? Cause you know, that is what really can cause you to be your downfall. You know what I mean? If I'm thinking about if I'm good enough, you know? So, I just really just tried to have fun and enjoy the fact that I was getting to work with people who I admire, respect, and who are down to work with me. So I must be, you know what I'm saying, somewhat good enough if they down to rock with me in that way. You know what I mean? So yeah, I got the concept and the idea and the title came from Whitney Houston.
Rest in peace, Whitney Houston, inspiring another generation of artists, even though she's not, you know, physically here. I ain't gonna lie, bro. I was so impressed with the production lineup. Like, you had Blue, who I love. We've had him on the show. When I saw the Havoc one, I was like, that's left. Because Havoc's one of the greats. Like, he's one of the greats. But I still feel people don't ring his phone enough. Like, especially some of the younger New York artists. I feel like Havoc should have one or two beats on most people's albums. I was so happy to see him working with you. And I was like, this is not what I would have picked, but it makes sense at the same time. Talk about, you know, making that decision. Like, I'm going to rock with Havoc. How'd that go around? Because Havoc don't work with everybody, and you know this.
He don't. And you know, he one of the nicest people in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we started talking, and he was just with it off top. You know what I'm saying? He was like, yeah, what you need? Like, you know, it was just a no-brainer. It was like, do I want to just do it now, and it'd be me and him, or do I want to just, you know, get all these beats and sprinkle them throughout an album, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, man, like, let's just do me and him, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, and I went up to New York, met with him, you know what I'm saying? We did a little photo shoot, kicked it. And, you know, it was just one of those things where it was like, it was a good way to wrap up the project. And also just me as an artist, it stretched me, you know what I'm saying? Because that was one where I'm like, okay, I'm on a different level, you know what I'm saying, with Havoc, you know what I mean? And His name alone is solid, you know what I mean? And so it for me, it was just a no-brainer in a good way to end it out.
I want to ask a fun question. Let's say you had to add another EP on. You just had to add another word, make another EP. Out of all the producers out right now, who would be your pick to produce that EP and why?
Oh, that's a good question. Of course, Alchemist, LP, Harry Fraud, I like. Oh, Ant from Atmosphere. Jake One. That would be fire for me, Jake One.
Oh, yeah. Previous guest on the show, though. No, Jake One is nice. Yeah, I can hear you with all those producers, bro. I can hear you with all of them. You sound good on Conductor Williams, too.
Yeah, that's my guy, man. Me and him go way, way, way back. You know what I'm saying? Like, we go way back. And what's crazy is I've been knowing him probably 20 years. You know what I'm saying? And I knew him by a different name, you know what I'm saying? And so my homie was like,
what was the name?
D Will. And so, you know, when I started working on Am I Good Enough, the homie was like, why don't you hit up your homie Conductor? You know, y'all already got songs together. And I was like, I don't know that dude. And it was like, that's D Will. And I went my phone, I said, bro, I text him, I'm like, bro, you can, he's like, yeah. I said, I don't know why I didn't think about it. I don't know why I didn't realize that all this time. So, but yeah, he the homie, man. So
you sound really good on Conductor Williams because, you know, I listen to him, Hear Me When I Pray. I was on the bus because I like to listen to new music when I'm out and about in the world. just to see how it feels. And there was a, you know, the whole song is fire, but there were a few lines that really reached out to me, and I just wanted to break them down for me.
Okay.
You said, "We had to grow up fast. How real is that? I can't relate to how you live because my skin is black. My skin is dark as sin. Gold soul, I never sell it. I grew up in a hood where the bullet was so compelling. We don't desire, we require it. It's tiring." Now, I have a feeling, I can kind of relate to what you mean, but we have an audience out there that don't come from the places we come from.
Yeah.
Who may not experience the things that we experience, and their only lens into our world is through hip-hop music. Can you break down what you meant by those words and what inspired that those particular patterns?
Yeah, so, you know, people don't understand that the Black experience is, especially for a Black man, you know, it's different, you know. And so even if I'm a, you know, a rich Black man, you know what I'm saying? Like the Black experience for a rich, the experience for a rich Black man is going to be different than the experience of a rich white man, you know what I'm saying? So I was just saying I can never relate to how you live, you know what I'm saying? I'll never be able to understand it. And you'll never be able to understand, you know, how I live, you know what I mean? You know, my skin, dark as sin, meaning, you know, Black is looked at as bad, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and not even just skin, but like, you know what I'm saying? Like something dark, you know, is bad or it's not good. You know, you look at like movies, you know, or in the villains, you know, a lot of times it's always dark. You know what I'm saying? You know, there's always like a dark component or a Black component to the villains. You know what I'm saying? Even in scripture, you know, we talk about Christ and you look at pictures of Jesus. He's always in white robes and angels wear white. You know what I'm saying? And so that could translate to a Black kid that being Black means sin. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, no matter what the outside or how you see me, the inside is golden. You know what I'm saying? The inside is where the riches are. What's inside is what matters. You know what I'm saying? You know, my soul is gold. You know, my heart is gold. And that's something I will never, ever give up. You know what I'm saying? I'll never, never sell those things. I'll never sacrifice who I am inside. You know, I grew up in a neighborhood with gang members and, you know, we get on the ground and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Because it's shootings and drive-bys. You know, my brother got shot and killed when he was 16 in front of our house. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of life, you know, I grew up around, you know what I mean? And gang banging was real, you know what I'm saying? It's still real. And people getting shot was real, you know what I'm saying? Being around shootouts is real, you know? And so the bullet is compelling, you know, in that way. It's like, it is, it tells the story, you know what I mean? It holds a lot of power, you know what I'm saying? You know, now you got kids that they'll, and I know kids who have done it where they'll shoot you just to, you know, get it on Snapchat, you know what I'm saying? They'll shoot you just so they can, you know, be the man, you know what I'm saying? Like, not even about nothing else, but like, you know, having that trophy, you know what I'm saying? And I say, we don't desire it. We require it. It gets tiring. Meaning like, we don't ever wake up in the morning and think like, you know, I want everything bad. I want to go to jail. I want to shoot somebody. I want to get shot. I want to do something to fuck my life over. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't, that's not how we live. You know what I'm saying? But we require it most times because people who are dealing with those types of things or in those types of cycles, most times it's because there's a lack of resources. They are in need of something. You know what I'm saying? There's something that they're requiring. You know what I mean? If it's money, if it's food, if it's shelter, you know what I'm saying? If it's respect, if it's, you know, there's so many things, you know, that really cause people to engage in that type of lifestyle.
Bro, my plate is full. I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with me today. Just before you go, please let our listeners know where they can find you, where they can connect with you on social media, and most importantly, where they can support your movement.
Okay. I'm on all social platforms. At my name is JB, and JB is spelled J-A-B-E-E. And yeah, man, that, you know, I'm on everywhere. Hopefully the first Mellow project will drop in July, and we got Apollo Brown on there. We got More Conductor on there. We got Evidence. We got Marv One. So it's a loaded joint. So
I love that. The fan in me is happy. Like that, yeah, that production lineup sounds, it sounds serious. Bro, appreciate you. Thank you so much. You have the support of Breaking Atoms. And also, thank you for supporting our show
as well. I feel like I made it, man, because I listen to all the interviews y'all do. I feel like I made it. Listen, I listen to everything y'all do. Matter of fact, y'all did one with Havoc, right?
Yes, Havoc and Nice.
So, yeah, I remember I was working on my joint listening to that. Now, that was inspiring me. I was like, bro, I remember thinking, I'm going to put this Havoc EP out and I'm going to get on that podcast for real. You know?
Now you're here, bro. We would have had you on. We would have had you on sooner, but you know, life. But when we saw you signed to Mello, it was like, no, we were happy. It was almost like you wanted a crew in it. Like, oh man, like I remember speaking to somebody. I'm like, oh, you know, JB signed to Mello Music Group. And he's like, yeah, man, tell him congratulations, man. Like, so no, we're happy, man. We're really happy. We support good people.
I appreciate you so much, my brother.
So that was JB all the way from Oklahoma on the Breaking Atoms podcast. Make sure you support him. Just type in JB on the socials. I can't remember the handle off the top of my head, but I know he is on Instagram. He's on Twitter. Is he on TikTok? I do not know, but go over there if you're interested and find him. I'm out. You can find us at Break the Atoms on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Summit is at Hip Hop Chronicle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And you can connect with me. I am Kinetic with a K at the end because some of you are still spelling my name wrong. Spell my name right, like Static Selector. I am Kinetic with a K at the end on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with more interviews, news, reviews, and controversial views from the world of hip hop. I am gone. Peace.